Now, have you ever taken time to complain to your council? Have you ever lifted the phone 0289033105? Yes, you've called us. But have you ever called the council, whichever of the super councils you're in? Have you taken time to go to the council and say, I'm a ratepayer, I am not happy? What were the main reasons that you were complaining? Apparently, it's most likely to have been about noise, someone making a lot of noise, or indeed about rubbish, neither of which naturally would be, or obviously would be, the responsibility of the council for actually causing the difficulty. But they have a responsibility to ensure that that difficult time you're going through doesn't actually continue for any long period of time. So I presume it would be rubbish and noise. Let me speak to a man who knows all about this, John Allison, who's a community and commercial mediator. John, good morning.
Good morning.
John, am I right? Is that what people complain about most? Like the likes of noisy neighbours or rubbish lying around? And, okay, the council didn't cause the problem, but the council have a responsibility to try and eradicate it.
Well, what you're saying is right in relation to a category of a nuisance called statutory nuisance. And this is an area of nuisance that local authorities have an obligation to investigate and take enforcement action if necessary. But it's just one of a number of kinds of nuisance. But statutory nuisance means you're in breach of the Environmental Protection Act, the Clean Air Act, or whatever it is. And the local authority has a duty to address that. And this is data from Churchill Home Insurance that shows we get about 66 such complaints nationally every hour. That's over half a million a year, of which about half are to do with noise, and about a quarter are to do with rubbish. So that's where that data comes from. But it's reflective of various kinds of disputes that occur between neighbours and between neighbours and businesses, in fact. And in community mediation, which is what I'm involved in, we find that in such neighbour disputes, noise is typically 50% of the time, 50 to 60%, which is about the same as has been found in this data with statutory nuisance complaints.
So when people complain about noise, are they complaining about a neighbour playing music too loudly? Are they complaining about taxis beeping horns in the middle of the night? Are they complaining about nightclubs that are have raucous revellers coming out of them? What do the council have the responsibility for?
Well, the council have a responsibility, and indeed powers of enforcement in relation to statutory nuisance. So therefore, if the decibel level of the noise exceeds a certain threshold value, which they will measure with their monitoring equipment, they can take enforcement action. If it's music, they can confiscate stereos and so on, and they can impose fines. What I'd just like to point out is that of all the quarter of a million of noise complaints for statutory nuisance, only 8,000 reach enforcement action, which is about 4%, which is not a very, it's not a great statistic in terms of resolving the problem. And that's because these environmental health teams are overstretched and because it's difficult, time-consuming to collect the necessary evidence to bring about an enforcement action. And that's why I believe that an intervention through community mediation is really the best way forward. And it should be undertaken early. And when it is, it's much more effective, reaching successful outcomes in about 80 or 90% of cases.
How does it work, the mediation?
I would advocate that the noise teams actually refer such cases for mediation in the first instance before trying to pursue the route of enforcement and evidence gathering. It's so time-consuming and so expensive.
And how does the mediation actually work?
Mediation works by means of an independent mediator. It's important the mediator isn't part of the council, part of the enforcing authority. And the mediator uses mediation skills to bring about a conversation between the parties that otherwise wouldn't be happening. And the idea of that conversation, because it's undertaken in confidence and with trust, then that conversation reveals what the real issues in dispute are. And noise might well feature as a significant one, but not invariably. There may be all sorts of other things going on. And each issue is examined from both points of view. If it's noise, then some sort of pragmatic action might be taken to have a look at it. For example, two mediators in touch with each other by mobile phone, one in the source area, one in the reception area of the noise in a different building or next door. One set adjusts the stereo settings while the other side listens. Could I sleep with this noise level at setting 4 at night, or would it have to be level 3? In the daytime, could I watch TV or read my newspaper with a level a setting 7, and so on. And you end up calibrating the stereo, reaching an agreement. The person with the stereo can play it at certain times, certain reasonable times, at certain decent levels from their point of view. And on the other side of the wall, the person is able to get a night's sleep, read the newspaper, whatever it might be. And that's a pragmatic agreement. It's got nothing to do with enforcement action. It's undertaken willingly by both parties. It's written down. It's in writing. It's binding. And life's better. And that sort of approach is the kind of approach that mediators will take. And that kind of approach specifically in relation to noise. But mediation deals with all kinds of issues that are not only limited to noise and rubbish.
Well, what about rubbish? Because you get on a council, they'll say to you, oh, we're not responsible for that, that's commercial rubbish. Or they'll have some reason why it isn't their duty to come and collect it. I always say the responsibility lies with the litter louts, but we do need council to carry out their jobs properly. If you feel the council isn't doing the work properly, who are you liaising with here? It's not your neighbour who's throwing the rubbish, or are you trying to liaise with a fly tipper? What does that work in terms of, how does that work in terms of mediation?
In terms of mediation, one's dealing with two parties in dispute, and it is a requirement that you have to have two willing parties. And you have to have a dispute, otherwise, you know, what's the point? You're there to mediate and achieve a resolution of that dispute. And so one sees what the two parties need to do in terms of their own behavioural changes in addressing the problem, and one of them might be rubbish. And if it might be a shared problem, because the rubbish disposal area might be a communal one, and they might need to reach an agreement about sorting it out, putting a fence around it, you know, getting an extra bin, whatever. The purpose of mediation is to reach a pragmatic solution that actually works and benefits both sides and is going to be implemented. And community mediators can also add on, with the agreement of the parties, a monitoring period to make sure that the agreement does stick. But the important thing is that the agreement's written down, signed, witnessed, all that sort of thing, to give it due gravitas.
Okay,
and just find that when that's the case, it works.
And just one final point. What about the barking dogs? We're getting lots of comments here on the screen about barking dogs. Can you stop those?
Well, that is a tricky one, because actually you can train dogs not to bark. That's a matter for, again, a conversation. And hopefully that conversation can work. But sort of the dog is a third party, really, isn't it, to the dispute. There's not much you can do about a barking dog apart from either train it. There are devices around that you as a neighbour hearing a barking dog can acquire with emitting a high-frequency noise that if your neighbour can't train its dog, you can point the device at the dog and stop it barking yourself. And at the end of the day, sometimes one has to look for solutions like that if the solution can't be found between the parties. Sometimes there's an objective... there's a problem that's objectively separate from the parties that you've got to deal with another way. And that might be one of them sometimes.
It's an interesting point. I presume it doesn't cause any hurt to the dog. You just hear some sort of shriek that we can't hear. It's way above our ability to hear. And the dog reacts to it. I wasn't aware of that.
I shouldn't be advocating it as a solution in every case of barking dogs. I'm just pointing out that... Let me draw another analogy. If there's a laminate flooring in the flat above you and you hear a lot of footfall noise, a bit like people working on a drum skin, then there's a certain amount of adaptation that people can do, like taking the shoes off and all the rest of it. But there's a problem, isn't there? There's a laminate floor that's acting like a drum skin. What can be done about that? Objectively, mediators, when they find a problem like that, need to draw it out, and if necessary, refer it somewhere for outside assistance. And in the case of laminate flooring, it might be to a landlord. In the case of a barking dog, the objective solution would be to get the dog trained not to bark. And that is the best solution. But if the neighbour can't do it for some reason, they're incapable of achieving that, then I'm just pointing out that there is another route in that particular case.
Okay. There's a suggestion that you get this high-pitched noise and you fight back against your dog that is your neighbour. Getting some people around here to train their dogs not to bark would be impossible. I would like to hear from you this morning on the programme about nuisances, whether it be rubbish, whether it be noises, what you've complained to council about, and what the outcomes of the complaints were. Did you make any progress? 02890 333 105. Maybe someone mediated and it worked perfectly for you. 02890 333 105. Examples of the real hurdles you've faced. Maybe you're still facing them, or you managed to overcome them. So how difficult is it having noisy neighbours? Did you complain to council? Did you get it sorted? Do let us know. Is it the noise of a nightclub? Is it a barking dog? Is it, unfortunately, a very unreasonable person who may be living in the flat above or the flat alongside you? Do they have no thought whatsoever for their neighbours? It must be a total nightmare to not be able to get a proper sleep. Maybe you've got youngsters who congregate on the street corner and they simply won't go away. The noise of them. 02890 333 105. Do you have a dispute over rubbish? Indeed, has someone been fly tipping in your area and there never seems to be a champion who's there to assist? 02890 333 105. Do let us know of the hassles you're facing, and as well as that, what knight in shining armour may have come galloping to your aid from council and how you got it resolved. 02890 333 105. That's a very interesting text. Frank, just wondering, how do you become a councillor? Any idea? Thank you. Leslie in Ballysillan. Leslie, the next time the council elections are on, I'm not sure how long it is to we have them again. Do they come up every 4 years? How often do we have council elections? I'll have to double check that. But they come up from time to time and we go out and vote, we do, for the council, the local councillor, whichever council you happen to be with. And the parties all put up their candidates, and a lot of independents stand as well, and sort of, you know, I'm hesitating to say the word that's on the tip of my tongue, so I won't say it, no, because it would sound in some way denigrating towards people who I'm sure are very well intentioned when they stand for election, but we just call them people who are interested in being public representatives. They stand, and some of them get in as well. The ones that are on the tip of my tongue. However, Leslie, if you were interested and you're not in a political party, you could stand as an independent, and you get about £12,000 a year plus your travelling expenses and things like that. Need a double check, but I think that is the payment, and you get well looked after when you're a councillor. And you'll walk about the parish and people will say, she's in the council. Or Leslie, it might be he's in the council, I'm not sure. 02890 333 105. 077 66 105 105. Good morning to you. I want to speak to whoever's on this line. They've got a problem with the house next door. Good morning.
Hello, Frank.
Yes, what's the hassle?
The hassle is, there's no hassle with me, it's just a hassle with the council. The council come out, the house next door, these couple left it vacant. And it's one direction around the last 6 months, and I've been in touch with the council about that time, and they're going to do this and do this. I'll do everything. And after about 5 months, I phoned them up yesterday and they told me the case is now closed. Tell you what it is, the house is just a complete dump, and it was a lovely house where it was, but the cupboard broke up and left it there. And everybody called it, the council had a look, come out, had a look around it, the police took no more action, and now it's just a complete mess.
When you say the council, are you talking about the council or the housing executive?
I'm talking about the council, Frank, in the City Hall.
Yeah, but why would the council, and correct me, steer me in the right direction, but would it not be a housing executive property that you're in? What way does that work?
No, it's not a housing executive. This isn't a housing executive house. It's the council that she deals with us here, and I've been dealing with them, but it's like flogging a dead horse. It's like our mom was on talking to you early on. Everything he says is complete number. It doesn't apply.
Yeah. So this is a private property.
Yes, a private property.
And
it's been lying dormant the last 4 to 5 months.
And who? You know, I don't want any name here, but do you know who owns the property?
Well, apparently it's a deal. What do you call it? The bank and.
Okay. So these, So these people sort of, they weren't able to pay whatever they owed. They moved away. The house fell to wreck and ruin. The, you know, there's some finance house that owns the house and that owns the property. You want the council to come out and basically clean it up and make it look like as if you've got some sort of acceptable neighbour as opposed to an eyesore.
Well, I even go out myself and cut the heads and stuff like that and make it decent looking, you know what I mean? Because it's a decent state we're living here, you know? So there's no, what do you call it, no solution to it at all. There's nobody behind the council. I phoned them up again. They said, what the fellow was looking after, he's left the job now. And then the girl left the job. So they was looking after it now. They said they'd put it in their hands and it rolled up into a case. That's after 5 months. So that's all I want to know. Who's in charge of this, you know?
That's a good question. I've no idea who's in charge of it myself. When you look out your window, what do you see? What's in the back garden? What's in the front garden?
Well, Frank, I could tell you, if I was to sell my house, I'd try to sell it. And the new customer come up here, a client, and they looked over that door, they'd walk away.
So what do you see? What do you see?
Just walk away. You see, it looks like... Can you picture your house was left dormant for a year when there's no moisture in the back and everything, you know, the grass grew about 6 foot high and whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Just to delay that. And that's all.
I just wonder who is responsible. That's terrible to have to live beside squalor like that. But ultimately, who's got the responsibility? Is it the council's job, you know, ground the back and cut somebody else's grass? I don't think so. You know, if there was rubbish, unemptied bins or something, yes, I would expect the council would do that. Those who own the house, those who actually own the house would have a responsibility if you could trace them. It is, you know, totally understandable that you want help and assistance on it. I'm just wondering, would it be completely beyond the pale? And I'm not saying that you should do this or it's any reflection on you, but would you be allowed to? Would you be allowed to actually cut their grass?
I tell you too, Bill, their head joins up on my head and I went out and they cut it out and they tied it. Like every house in the street, there's about 15 houses in the street, and every one of them has all been handed down from generations, you know, like going by their mother.
Yeah, but were you ever tempted to actually go into the backyard and lawn mow the grass or cut it with a scythe or something?
Frank, you know what would happen. You know what would happen. That's breaking and entering.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is it breaking and entering, however? If this is a dilapidated building, there's nobody there, reflection on your own property is incredibly negative. You know, if it was next door to me, I'm just painted straight here. I would cut it. I wouldn't care if somebody else owned it. I was just saying, if that reflects so bad on my property, I'm going in and I'm going to tidy it. You know, is it breaking and entering? Is it trespassing? It's not breaking and entering, but it could be trespassing. I just don't know. I'm open to guidance from any of you who could help me out or this man out, because it's a terrible state of affairs that he has to live in those conditions. 90-333-105. Listen, thank you for the call. And if anyone knows the best port of call for the gentleman, it's a privately owned house. What can he do? Do let us know. Jim's got a point that he wants to make. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Frank. How you doing?
Very well, Jim. What's on your mind?
Oh, I live in Blacks Road here, right? And I should have made this complaint a long way ago. The cops are speeding on this road. I don't know what to respond to warrant that speed. They must have been by my house 60, 70, maybe 80 miles an hour time. And that's no lie.
Now, when you say Blacks Road, Blacks Road is quite well known in Belfast. This is the area of Belfast which has a hotel. Balmoral Hotel is on Balmoral, Blacks Road.
Yep.
Is the Balmoral Hotel the whole way to Suffolk is the Blacks Road. Whereabouts are you talking about?
That's right. I'm just above the Balmoral. Sure, do you know the garage there?
Yes.
There's a garage. I'm just around about the garage there. And sometimes there's two cars. Sometimes they're back-to-back. Sometimes they're spaced out. And I don't know what they're responding to a warrants at speed. But somebody's going to get killed in this road here. That's a fact. A couple of weeks ago, well, more so, there was a girl killed in the Ballyshill Road. The cops were in pursuit of a car.
Yes, well, I don't want to discuss the ongoing investigation into that tragedy, and I can't do that on the radio. But let's concentrate on the Blacks Road. You're worried and you're concerned about the speed that police cars are driven at.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I'm surprised somebody else hasn't been on the radio about it. Huh? It's crazy, like, and it's not like years ago where there's something serious to respond to, maybe murder or I don't know, but I don't know what they're going to at that speed.
Yeah, but how do we know? Maybe they're going to save someone's life, Jim. Maybe they're in pursuit of a criminal who's carried out a dastardly act and they're about to apprehend him or her. When I hear the sound of a siren, I get the impression that assistance is on the way, that help is about to be visited upon people who are in despair. Whereas, you know, you see it differently. You see it as an abuse. Absolutely, of, yeah. An abuse of privilege to some extent.
Yeah, Yep, and as I say, like, you know, it's not like years ago when there's a lot of trouble going on. It's not every night you're hearing the news, someone's getting caught by the cops, blah, 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 you know? It's like, I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe it's a tea break or I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, it doesn't warrant that speed. And they'll be into somebody's living room before they know it, and somebody's going to kill in this road, and then somebody sit up and listen. Well, have to look at this situation, you know.
How often do you hear the police speeding along, or hear the police with the blues and twos travelling along Blacks Road, in your opinion, speeding?
Sometimes I can hear them four or five times a day, sometimes maybe once, sometimes not in all the time, but it happens every day, absolutely, you know.
Okay, so this is a regular occurrence on the Blacks Road, the police sirens, and Jim believes that they are driving too rapidly. I don't have the police to answer your issue, Jim, but if you're in the area and you feel that Jim's describing something that does happen, feel free to endorse it, or if you think maybe he's overstating it, equally so. 02890 333 105. 02890 333 105. Well, the council here in Belfast have been kind enough to point out to us that unless a building is deemed dangerous and at risk of falling down, they can't really do anything except track down the owner and ask them to tidy the building up or to make it more presentable. And the caller who was on speaking to us earlier is very welcome to contact the council's building control department. They may inspect the property to see if it is at risk of being a dangerous building. 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. We're talking about barking dogs as well. How do you keep a barking dog under control? How annoying is it if there's a dog during the course of the night continuing Thomas is a cat. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. And it's not a cat, it's Rosie.
Sorry.
I've told you that before, Frank.
Sorry, Rosie. Sorry, Thomas. Thomas has a cat called Rosie.
That's all right. Yes. Now, Frank, do you remember I got the front garden cut? And my back garden's full of buttercups and dandelions and dockanlies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I pleased the neighbours, right? The neighbours said to me about my gardens. And I says, look, you know, I'll cut the front garden, but I'll leave the back garden for, that's Rosie's playground. She likes to, as I told you before, she likes to go in there and hunt mice and stuff like that. Now, there's one woman across the road from me, and she's the one that moans all the time about my garden. But she's got two poodles, Frank. And the poodles don't stop yapping from noon to night. And you know another thing? They're Rosie terrified. So, you know what I mean? It swings and roundabouts. So, see, to solve the barking dog problem, get a cat.
Hold on, Thomas, you know? Because your answer last week, you know, it got a lot of reaction. Your answer to people who want to put up paramilitary flags was, get a cat. Your answer to everything is get a cat.
Exactly. Well, no barking dog problem. If you get a cat, all right, they might meow now and again, but they don't sort of bark in the middle of the night and all, and you're trying to get some sleep, you know.
How annoying are the poodles?
I don't know. Yeah, there's no wind.
How annoying are the poodles?
Poodles, actually. You know, they're very annoying. They're spoilt as well. And they won't give Rosie a chance. See, every time Rosie comes out my front door, the poodles chase her all around the place. And I've said to the lady in question, I says, look, excuse me, this is going to have to stop. They're barking at night and they're torturing, petrifying my Rosie. So something's going to have to be done. But there's nothing I can do about it. That's just let nature go. Let it go, you know what I mean?
When a poodle does bark, it doesn't really bark at all. It yaps, doesn't it? It's more, well, what, you know, I was doing an impression there, really, of like a sheepdog or whatever. But what sound does a poodle make?
That hurt. That was laughing. A poodle would sort of go, now, all day long, Frank, and night long, you know.
That is annoying, actually. There's no question or doubt about that. Do you live next door to a poodle? Do let us know. 0289 033 105. If you're going to be barked at, you'd rather be barked at by a real dog. Right, 0289 033 105, 077 66 105 105, or do what Thomas does, get yourself a cat. Billy's got a point. Good morning, Billy.
Hello, thank you. I'm playing here. My neighbour's got an erection in his garden, and I can't get the council to do anything about it.
Yes, what's the garden like, Billy?
Well, it's all right. It's just rough enough, you know. But it's, I spoke to the man, and he said to me, he says there's nothing you can do about it. He says it's a sexual, what do you call them, sexual shed.
A sexual shed. What's he doing?
Sexual shed.
Where is it? No, please, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Everybody be round. I think it's a sectional shed.
I think I called
them up. Okay, I'm breathing a sigh of relief here. So he's put up a sectional shed, and it isn't to your liking. The garden's okay, but it's the actual... gosh, I was going to say the... there was a word about to come out there which wouldn't have been appropriate at all. Let's transfer that word to the building. It's the building of the shed that isn't to your liking.
Well, I thought, everybody, if you put an erection in your garden, that you have to get planning permission.
Hey...
Frank, what's so funny? That's not funny. You're living here beside it.
Billy, this is true. This is true. I'm taking a deep breath here, Billy, and I'm just wondering, are you pulling my leg to some extent?
Now, Frank, would I do that?
So describe the shed to me.
It's wood, and it's a big thing, and he keeps his tools and all in it.
And do you get on well with the neighbour?
Well, I say hello to them and that, you know, but not, we don't fall out or nothing like that.
And you're hoping that he may take the shed down? Have you liaised with him? Is he blocking your view? Is he interfering with your light?
Well, no, he's not blowing my light, but, it doesn't look great, you know, in a green for a garden, you know what I mean? It just doesn't look right.
And what did the council say? Did they say he needed planning permission or not?
Well, nobody seemed to want to know. They just said you'll have to speak to him.
Yeah, but you are entitled to a garden shed. I'm just wondering how big is it in relation to the house? Is it very big compared to the house, or is it, you know, average size?
No, it's about average size. But it just doesn't look great. Maybe he put it in around the back of his house or something, might be better, but it's sticking right in the front.
Oh, so it's in the front garden. Sorry, I didn't realise that. I thought it was at the back of the house. So it's at the
front. No, it's in the front garden.
It's at the front. That is rare. And I would imagine that you might have an argument there with regards to what you can position in your front garden. If you did speak to planning or speak to the council, but you don't seem to be getting very, very far with it. 02890 333 105 If you have any advice for Davy, or sorry, for Billy. John has a point that he wants to make, and he's on line three. John, good morning, and I see what his argument is in relation to what we're talking about. What's on your mind, John?
I would just like to let you know that Rosie is not even real.
Now, this is unfair. People have suggested this before, that Thomas has an imaginary cat, but we've done our investigating.
It's like the old story with Trigger and his brush, and the only fools and horses, and he says he's had this brush for 20 years, and he's had 15 different shafts. Now, I can tell you now, Thomas does not have a cat called Rosie. He's had several cats, but there's no Rosie.
And why do you say this, John? Are you someone who knows Thomas quite well?
I know Thomas very well. I seen him out walking what I would believe would be a goat. Now, I'm not sure if it's a cat or what he wants to call it, but this thing was on a lead, and it was what I would think would be a goat.
I actually think I'm still in bed, right? And this is some sort of dream this morning, and I'm dreaming that I'm at work, and there's a man who's got a garden shed next door to him, and he's using all sorts of innuendo to describe the shed. And then there's another fella who has gone down the street, and he has managed to see a man who has a cat called Rosie, but today he's leading it down wherever he's going, and it looks like a goat. And eventually my wife's going to give me a little shake and say, Frank, it's time to get up and go to work, because this does seem a little bit surreal. Good morning to you. 90333 105. Let me get to a slightly more serious element of what we've been discussing this morning and speak to Davy, who's on this line. Good morning, Davy.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Davy. Very, very well, Davy. Go ahead.
Just a wee word about the guy who was complaining about the police speeding up and down his road. He has no idea what the police are going to. He's no idea what they're dealing with. He seems to have a bit of a grudge against the police. Maybe he's been caught doing something he shouldn't have been doing, speeding or whatever, but I think he needs to mind his own business and leave the police to do what they do very well.
So when you hear blues and twos, you're like me, you immediately think they are going to help me, they're going to sort something out, they are going to arrive at a scene and be of benefit to the innocent party here.
Exactly. They don't know what they're going to, they don't know what's going to meet them whenever they get there. This guy just seems to have a grudge against the police. When I hear blue and twos based from a police car or an ambulance or a fire engine, I get out of the way and let them go wherever they go.
But he was emphasising that they seem to be on Blacks Road quite a bit, and there is significant speed on the road when the police are going past. He's raising it because he's concerned that an accident might happen and someone may get knocked down.
The police are very well monitored. Their cars are well monitored. They're very well maintained. The police go, and they don't use blues and twos whenever they don't need to.
All right. Davy, thank you very much. We'd like to think that's exactly how the police operate. 02890 333 105. 077 66 105 105. Frank, I rang the Belfast Council to arrange for them to take away an old garden bench and a barbecue. They told me they only deal with household and white goods. I explained my husband and I are both disabled. Their response was that we could pay privately to get a neighbour to take it to the dump where they would gladly recycle it. I put in a complaint, but I've heard nothing more, says Lorraine, listening to the programme. Yeah, Lorraine, I just don't know what my opinion on that is. You're coping with a disability. You don't say whether or not you have a restricted income as a result of your disability. So it's not really about being disabled. It's about your financial status, I would imagine, that would be the important thing here. As to the journey to the dump. It's undertaken by those of us who are able to do it on a regular basis. It is a good facility, the recycling centre. But if you can't get to the dump, well, then you do need to ask someone else to do it. And if the council don't collect old garden benches and barbecues, then the other alternative is goodwill from a neighbour or hiring someone to do it. I just wonder, if they were to provide that service to you as a couple, how many other people would want it as well? I'm thinking out loud, Lorraine. I really don't know what is the best thing to say in those circumstances, and I particularly don't know because I'm not sure if your own personal financial circumstances, whether you're able financially to employ someone to do it. Frank, what sort of people do you have on the phone this morning, says this texter. Very interesting people, as always, and the occasional oddball.
There are now more ways than ever to listen to U105. Tune in on FM, online, on your mobile, and now you can ask your voice-activated speaker to play U105. Alexa, play U105. Try it now.
U105. Yearly Bird catches the 7-day deal. Kellogg's Cornflakes 790 grams, just £1.39. Only at Eurospar and Vivo Extra till June 17th while stocks last.
I wanted the twins to be near their grandparents. So moving out of town, having more space, it meant a lot.
Wherever you are on the ladder, the Post Office has lots of mortgages to help you get to where you want to be. Search Post Office Mortgages to find out more. Post Office Money Mortgages are provided by Bank of Ireland UK. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105 with Right Sofaland. Experience luxurious living at Right Sofaland Calinchy and our new flagship showroom at Knock Belfast.
You join us at Woolsey's Bangor for Steak Night every Wednesday and Thursday from 5 p.m. with a choice of steak, sauce and sides from £11.95 plus a bottle of wine for a tenner. How do Woolsey's Bangor do it?
Good morning to you. 90 333 105. Frank, speaking of councils, my partner and I were in Belfast on Sunday for the Possessions March. You know, the march to commemorate 100 years of women having the vote. It was attended by thousands of women. After the march, we went to City Hall to get a cup of tea in the cafe. And we also asked a person in the general vicinity of City Hall. Now, you identify this person, but I'm not going to say what role the person has. But this person was in the general vicinity of City Hall. It was a male person who was not, I emphasise, working in the cafe. And you asked the male person, indeed, for directions. And the person said to you, sure, you would know, wouldn't you? You lot know everything. This is why you're marching. You know all that needs to be known. Followed by asking me if I would go round to his house to get the TV remote off his wife because he can't control her. And folk wonder why men are fed up with this type of ignorant, ill-informed, casual, negative attitude to women. The man hadn't a clue and thought he was hilarious. I thought he was an idiot, says Linda in Whitehead. Linda, he sounds like an idiot, if you don't mind me saying. 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. I think we have a councillor on the phone here who'll answer some of these problems. Councillor David Brown. David, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, David, you were listening to some of these issues with regards to, indeed, what people have to face. And the lifting of the barbecue and the park bench, sorry, not the park bench, but the garden furniture, the lifting of the barbecue and the garden furniture that belongs to a disabled couple, council not prepared to do it. Should they be doing it?
Yeah, Frank, as you provide that address now in the world is what part of Belfast I get lifted. But, I mean, thank goodness Belfast is one of the few councils probably Northern Ireland and probably in the whole United Kingdom, we don't charge for lifting waste. We've got what's called a large waste collection service. Now, there's been debate for years whether we should charge people or not, but thank goodness we don't, because I think if we did, we would end up with lots and lots of fly tipping. But I have to say to you, I'm surprised that the lady got that reply, because, as I say, we would lift normally most any type of household rubbish, Now, you may have to wait sometimes for a week or a fortnight, sometimes 3 weeks for an appointment to get it done, but we normally would lift that. So if you want to provide me with a lady's address, I'll get it lifted.
Okay, if she wants to come back to us and give us those details, we'll pass it on to Councillor David Brown. David, thank you very much. Thank you.
No problem, Frank. Thank you.
So there you go, your barbecue and your garden furniture. If it's, you know, in a state of disrepair, it can be collected by council. It's coming up on a quarter to 11. 90 333 105 077 66 105 105. Good morning to Connor, who's in Bangor. He's enjoying the show. Morning to you, Connor. And Frank, I think the song Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood would be a good one, says George and Dan. I wonder when did they pick up on that in terms of the garden shed. And Frank, I'm laughing here at Thomas making the sound of a barking dog. My old dog Olaf is sitting here turning his head wondering what's going on, says Lil, listening to the show. Good morning. Good morning to you, Lil. And Mark's listening to the programme. Some mornings Mark contacts us maybe once or twice. On other occasions he may be through 7 or 8 times. Let's see what Mark has to say this morning. Mark says, don't get a cat. Get yourself a hose because your lawn is drying up. You've cut your grass too short. Mark likes to Mark likes to give the impression that he has some idea of my gardening skills, and he does get in touch from time to time. Mark, good morning. Good morning. 077 66 105 105. Loads of you have problems with barking dogs. Let me speak to Brian on this line. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Frank. Good to speak to you.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the programme. How do you deal with a barking dog? We've heard about high-pitched sounds you can send back in the dog's direction. You can complain to your neighbours. You can even train the dog to stop barking. Maybe you can feed the dog over the fence. I don't know. How do you cope with it?
Well, to be honest, Frank, sometimes I think, why if a dog's barking, you have to let a dog be a dog. As long as it's not like impacting on your neighbours too much. I've started a new job and my dog barks because she misses me during the day. And she's not under any stress. She's well fed. She's got plenty of room to move about. I leave out food, leave out water, leave out her toys. And the neighbour is complaining. When I go to work, she's barking. The only way that I can help that situation would be to get rid of the dog, and I'm not doing that. And if the dog is barking from like during the day, that's within the threshold of daily work. You could have a builder next door tell you with a drill all day or a jackhammer, you know. And I think that neighbours need to appreciate that some dog owners love their dogs and that they do their best. And if they're barking, then just deal with it and get on with it and stop complaining, you know.
Yeah, but Brian, I imagine you're away working in, you know, whatever office you work in or factory or building site, wherever you are working.
Building site.
You're on a building site from maybe 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And during that period of time, your dog is close to other houses, am I right?
Yes. Because I started this new job, and she's just barking, and we live in a wee terraced house, no, two up, two down.
Okay, so is the dog in the house or the dog in the back garden?
Both. I leave the back door open, so she would go out to the back garden, do her business, play, and she would come into the house and maybe go for a nap. She goes in between both.
So you leave the door of the house open when you're away at work?
Yeah, this is the situation. What the other situation, what I've had to do is I've had to bring my dog up to my dad for my dad to look after a couple of days a week. But he's at 75 and he's not well and he has his own wee dog. So then the other couple of days a week, I've been bringing the other dog down for company to see if that will work. I have tried everything. The other neighbours on one side says, Brian, I don't hear a thing. The odd one or two barks, but the neighbour on the other side. So I'm sort of caught in this quagmire where I don't know what to do. I'm not getting rid of my dog, simple as, you know. Neighbours need to be a wee bit more, what would be the word, understanding, I think, you know.
Yeah, well, some people would argue that a dog shouldn't be left alone for that length of time, but you are allowing the dog to go in and out of the house, into the garden, into the house, which seems like a very generous gesture, because you're putting your security of your house at risk by leaving the door open. Yeah. I'm dumbfounded by that.
Yeah. I'll not tell you my address.
No, but that is a risk to take. However, what about putting up a little camera outside your house for a day, let it film for a day and get a sense of just how much barking your dog is actually doing, because it must be annoying for the neighbours.
It is, but again, it's the neighbour on the other side that I've got one side, it's a house, and then on the other side, it's two flats. So it's two separate people in the families in the other side, and they're like, Brian, we don't hear a single thing. The odd bark, if your dog sees another dog walking out the street, my dog will jump up the window and bark out at it. He says, but Brian, we don't hear a thing. So they're grand and they're happy with it. It's just the neighbour on the other side has really put me under pressure. And, you know, I'll never ever get rid of my dog. So it's coming down to a situation where me and my fiancée are looking for another property. We're literally having to move house because of this.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the neighbour who hears the dog barking will be glad to see you go. But at the same time, you do come across as a guy who really loves your animal when you go to the length of leaving your house open for the dog to go in and out. You are a dog lover extraordinaire. Dennis is on this line. He's got a barking problem that's slightly different. Not so much barking, but I suppose squawking. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
No, very well, Dennis.
It's about magpies, really. I just wanted to know, they seem to be getting more and more prevalent, especially in sort of, they used to be, I'm showing my age now, years and years ago, you'd maybe see the domed nests of them in a hawthorn bush away in the countryside, but they've invaded, and they're a very aggressive bird. And where I live here in Bangor, this couple of magpies have got four youngsters, and they're squawking day in and day out. And if you had a cat, the cat would make them worse, because they actually squawk more if there's a cat about. And they're aggressive, and they eat other wee birds as well. But I don't know whether the Society of Birds could give figures on magpies, but they seem to be everywhere now.
They do get a very bad press, the magpie, and they're always described as the bird that will steal the other eggs out of the nest and even attack little chicks in other nests. But I just wonder, is that fair to the magpie? I have magpies, you know, that come and go into the garden as well. I see them as all God's wee creatures, you know, and I'm lucky enough.
I'm not saying they're not. Yeah, they've every right to be invaded their space, probably. But to me, they seem to be getting more sort of aggressive and invading into, you know, they're a very noisy bird, put it that way.
Yeah, and I know in the countryside they're always seen as a bird that farmers will shoot. They'll shoot magpies, they'll shoot the crows and grey crows, and they don't think twice about it. Personally, you know, I wouldn't shoot any of them, but that's another discussion and another debate. I'm lucky enough at the moment to have a nest very close to the house of the little, don't know one bird really from the other one, wee chaffinches, you know, the wee yellow and black fellas are lovely wee things coming in and out of it.
Goldfinches, maybe.
That's probably what they are. Nice. Goldfinch. Beautiful, beautiful bird.
Yeah.
And I have less magpies than usual, but when you leave out food for the birds, jeepers, you'll attract magpies in the blink of an eye. They'll come and eat all the food.
That's right.
Yeah, so
right.
I'm not recommending that you even talk to a farmer and shoot them. As a matter of fact, that'd be the last thing I would do. I think it's cruel.
Well, I've seen magpies. Yeah, well, I've seen magpies actually chasing a cat. Believe it or not, you know, flying after it and pecking at it. So I mean, it's obviously, you know, they're not a bit afraid of them.
Yeah, they're very aggressive. They're an assertive, an assertive bird. But I think there's room for them all. So that you're not getting any sleep with them, is that it?
No, well, those warm weather there, you'd have the windows open, you know, and they're on the go from the crack of dawn, which is very early.
That is true. Dennis, thank you. So a squawking baby magpie right through to a barking dog. What's annoying you? 2105.